This conference is just not what you call a conference. In the time of the Old Testament, the children of Israel were required to present themselves to the Lord, what was it, three times a year? And when they were to meet with God, there was a preparation that was needed to be made. And it says in Job, it says that there came a day when the sons of God gathered together to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was there also. Do you know, this weekend was our presenting ourselves before the presence of God. The gathering of the sons of God. The people, a called people that God has called to be part of His first fruit company. We have heard the message of the kingdom of God. You and I know the day of our beginnings. You know the place where God called each and every one of us. You know it was Him. It was not anything of our own being. And it was a calling not just of salvation, just not being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, not just being covenanting with God to go all the way and to receive the baptism of His Spirit, but that by our submission to God, He would baptize us into the body of Christ. There is something that has been given to you and I as a people that I believe we cannot ever forsake the foundations that has been brought to us. And when I speak of that foundation, I believe that it is the foundation that is built upon, as the Word says, by the prophets and the apostles. Now, this conference has been what you would say that God has had to intervene to save His people, to save what the enemy wanted to do, just like as it were in the days of Esther. Haman, who is a type of the devil, hated the people of God. And he especially hated, in particular, Mordecai, who stood at the gate of the king. And the type of Mordecai is a type of the Holy Spirit and the ministry. You see, if the devil knows he can destroy the very foundations, he can destroy the work. Now, we do not lift up or place as what man places in a hierarchical sense. But when we know the Word of God and the divine order of God, it is a plan and purpose of God to establish and to fulfill what it says in Ephesians 4, that He has, He says that He has, what does it say? That the Lord has set in the church, thank you, these fivefold ministry for what? For the perfecting, for the edification, for the building up until we all come unto the perfect man. There has been an active diabolical activity by Satan to destroy that which is the life support to the church. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now I'm saying this because we have been speaking very much this weekend that God is intervening against the plan of the enemy to destroy each one of us. Yeah. And he has been speaking by His Spirit in a way to deliver us from the power of Satan that has come to rob in our lives individually, in localities, and corporately the plan and purpose of God to bring forth the body of Christ in this hour. You know, the Bible says to watch out for the little foxes that destroy the vine, the little things that want to chip away at the foundation. And brethren, I don't think any of us is above that place to where the enemy can come in to try to rob and to steal and destroy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But Jesus said, I have come to give life and life more abundantly. He has been faithfully here this weekend. He has ministered deep with onto our souls to deliver, to heal. I saw last night, you know, it's amazing how God works. Sometimes God works deliverance by an altar call where people get down on their face and call upon the name of the Lord. And some people came up during the time of this conference and came up before the presence of the Lord. And I believe that in a pure heart, God met them. Amen. Hallelujah. Delivered them. But I also know that the Word of God was being spoken in the midst of this conference. And as the Word was coming, healing was coming. Yes. Deliverance was coming. Yes. Do you know, we would not have had the meeting that we had last night if it were not for the delivery of the Word this weekend.
Yes.
To bring us into that place that we could touch the throne of God. And when we got to that place, the Spirit of God began to move in such a way that God began to minister life. You know, I'm sharing this. I know I could probably speak for the brethren in Dubuque that the ministry of the Word last night to us as a fellowship in Dubuque was very vital to us. Vital to hear from heaven, not only what God wants to do and what we need to do, but that to be encouraged to know that God is speaking such a word. Hallelujah. We have been in a place in Dubuque fighting the principality and the ruling spirit over that area, which is a religious spirit that goes beyond the borders of just the actual natural location. Hallelujah. And what was encouraging was the fact that not only as the word was coming forth that there was an encouraging that all of you will stand with us, but I was hearing that all of heaven was standing with us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's just one small aspect or attribute of what God was giving us this weekend. Hallelujah. I don't know, but as we were singing that song this morning, open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. There is something that is a requirement for each of us that we need to do. In Psalm 15, the Lord brought me this psalm here in the last within the last 2 weeks, and He kept bringing it back and back to me. And Psalm 15 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Huh? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. My God, this weekend, I think of the message on that you cannot put new wine in old wineskins. Hallelujah. We have a business with God to deal with this humanity, or the devil will use this humanity to destroy us. Do you hear what I'm saying, brethren?
Yeah.
Either we overcome or we will be overcome. We will not be able to stand in this hour against the onslaught of hell as hell is coming to its fullness at midnight unless we get caught up into God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Higher than we've ever been before.
Amen.
We have tasted of the glory of God. Many of you out here have tasted of God, known the presence of God. And the thing that God has imparted to you and I to receive the life that we need to stand in this hour. Hallelujah. We were not called to the outer court. We were called not just to be virgins, but to be wise virgins. We are called to be those that are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. God coming and tabernacling with us. As a young man, when I was first saved, I don't know why God did what He did, but He brought this message to me when I was first saved. But when I heard it, now God had to do something to me to hear what I'm hearing. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't that I had a good natural ears. I needed something to give me an ear to hear. God did something to anoint my ear to be able to take me from all of the religious structure and deliver me and to lead me to the message of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And with that calling and election, He not only gave me an ear to hear, but He gave me an appetite that went beyond my understanding to say, I don't understand it, but I recognize it as being God, and I want it. I wanted it with all my being. And with that, I saw God begin to lead me. Doors opened. And when I say doors opened, God brought me to a people that were hearing the same thing.
Amen.
And that this hearing was to bring forth truth to a church at the end of time. You know, we can never take lightly what God has given us. And that very thing that God has given us is under direct assault. God needed an apostolic word to be given to a people. And in that apostolic word, He said that there God showed and taught us divine order versus how would you say the opposite of divine order? Man's order? Devil's order? Huh? Disorder. And the church system is in complete disorder. But God loves His people. And God called you and I for a purpose. And when you look into Revelation, you look into 11, you look into 12, God said in Revelation 12, in that vision of the woman standing upon the moon church, clothed with the sun, that church, which was, it came out of the old order, and it was being the light was upon that woman, and it was going to be that woman that was going to bring forth the man-child. And the man-child was for the saving of the earth. Hallelujah. This is what you and I have been called for. This is the thing that has been planted within me, and I believe that God has given to you all. And not only us here, but to all those that God has anointed the ear and the heart to walk in that truth and that revelation. But you know, this conference is saying in order for that to come about, there has to be a rending of the old wineskin, the old garment, in order for God to put in the new.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We have to be changed.
Yeah.
You know, the devil has tied the church up. because the church is waiting for other people to change, and we miss the whole thing that God is saying, first, deal with your house. Your house. We become so worried about other people's houses, and we're deceived by the devil, and we become a very, what you would say, we become the product of what we accuse others of. Because we become hypocrites if we don't deal with what's in our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for His mercy.
Amen.
He loves us. And the reason He loves us is He wants to deliver us. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, you hear about love in the church. But without change, without the dealing or getting out the filth out of your own temple, how can the love of God dwell within you? Amen? As I was saying before, I believe this weekend is something God is unfolding to us, and He's going to continue to unfold. It's really not the end of the conference. It's just the beginning. Because if we take to heart what has been said and what has been ministered, and I believe we need to go back and to rehearse the Word of God. We need to chew our cud so that we might get all the nutrients. You understand? You know, I'm trying to think of everything, and I find that I really can't get it all. I have to go back and get it again. But do you know what? I know something has come to me by the Spirit of God that is saying, oh God, do something in my life.
Amen.
Because I want to be what God has called me to be. God did not call me to be like Ephraim, a cake half-baked.
Amen.
Cooked on one side, raw on the other. How many of you like uncooked pancakes? You ever get one and in the middle, it's not done? It just turns me off, to tell you the truth. How do you think God? God has taste. God has desire. I don't want God to spew me out of His mouth.
Amen.
And truthfully, brethren, when I've eaten a pancake half-baked, nobody's allowed it. I don't want to finish it. It's no good. And that's the same with us. We need to repent. And repentance is just not a one-time thing. It needs to be an operational thing every day in our lives. And we must hate sin more than we love it. And do you know what? It's a little key the Lord showed me. That's the only way you can get delivered of sin. You got to hate it more than you want it. You could say all day long, oh God, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. And at the same time, you're holding on to that thing. And as long as you hold on to it, you will never be set free. But when you get a distaste for sin and iniquity in your life, as God hates it, then you will be delivered. That is how God works. You know, I could come up here and act very holy and do all the things, but to tell you the truth, God sees my heart. He knows everything about me. Now, He loves us. He wants to heal and deliver us. But it's only on conditional upon the principles of the kingdom of God. Whatever spirit you submit yourself to, that spirit you become servant to obey. Hold on to sin, you become servant and slave to it. But when you reject it and you turn to the life that can not only deliver you, but heal you and fill you, then you become servant to righteousness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God wants to clothe us with righteousness.
Yes.
Remember what I read here? Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? I heard someone say we should not preach tabernacle. We need to preach love. Is that what you call an oxymoron?
Amen.
I mean, when I see tabernacle, I see God's love. I see God's plan. I see provision that gives me an understanding to the word that is being taught out of the word of God, that it witnesses in the word that which God is leading me into. Hallelujah. And I need the change. I look at the place. If God says we are kings and priests unto our Lord, and we look at the tabernacle and we see how the priest in the Old Testament walked in the tabernacle, that there was a particular garment they wore, there was a prescribed fashion in which they were ordered by the word of God in how to perform service to God. And when they went into the holy place, what did they see? They saw gold. They saw gold. Everything in the holy place was gold. And the pieces of furniture were made with wood but covered over in gold. God says the requirement of the sons of God is, as they progress into God, is to be covered with the nature of God. Gold is symbolic of the nature of God. Amen? How many of us are tired of our humanity? You know, we have to go beyond just being tired. We must hate it. I remember a brother said to me one time, and I always remember this. He says, I pray, Lord, don't let anybody see my wood. I don't want anybody to see my wood. Let them see gold in my life.
Amen.
Now, how does that prayer get answered? We have to deal with the wood. It's not like, okay, well, I'm going to put on this face and I'm going to act godly, and yet I have this thing. The fact is, God is in the process of change, and we got to want change so much that God is covering us with His nature. Amen? Hallelujah. Who shall abide? What does abide mean? Dwell? Huh? Tabernacle? There's a place of relationship. And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? I think this weekend in verse 3 it says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. It's time for the tongue to cease in the church. That is bringing destruction. That is whispering in the night. And we need to be convicted if we have participated in that. The very person that God designs to be your brother in arms, the devil is whispering for you, bringing a division against the people of God. Boy, I don't know, maybe I'm saying something wrong, or I'm hoping that maybe it sinks into all of us. We give strength to the enemy when we listen and we become a careless Christian by speaking what the devil is whispering.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Careless Christian. I remember in, I think you know the year, I think it was 94 in India. We were with Brother DeCille, and we were holding a seminar at the YWCA in Chennai. And Brother Cecil put up on a board, and he started to, so he goes, I want to teach today on the kingdoms of Satan. I put it here. The kingdom of Satan, his principalities, demons, all these things. But he had a little category over here called careless Christians. And it was titled under the Diabolos spirit. We need to repent when we speak ill of our brethren. But I'm also saying to the church at large, we need to repent for giving way to the accuser of the brethren that has spoken against the ministry. I have heard that some people feel that we've become another church. I have heard over the years many that has come against this very foundation, which two of these brethren, Brother Chijoki from Nigeria, Brother Martin from the Czech Republic, that got up and testified of the life that has come from this place.
Amen.
Brethren, the church is not dead. It's very much alive.
Amen.
But the enemy would love to do nothing but to destroy this work. I think we need to assess what it is that the enemy is doing and begin to stop it.
Amen.
Stop it from whatever it's speaking and doing. Because to tell you the truth, some people go, well, why are you talking about the apostles? Why are you talking about these things? Because it's divine order. God placed in the church the fivefold ministry. He also placed in localities eldership. That's God's divine order. The rest of the church system is all in disorder. And I have seen people with revelation miss these two foundation things that was set by God in the church to bring life and deliverance. Hallelujah. So brethren, what we have gotten is very, very precious indeed. We need to look at our foundation and make sure that what we are doing, that what we are building upon, is the foundation of Jesus Christ laid out by the Scriptures in order to bring the deliverance that is needed. Hallelujah. Do you think that the word that was delivered this weekend was for another people?
No,
no, no, no, no. It was for us.
Yeah.
It was for me. And I believe it was for me. I believe it was for you. And I believe that God is intervening because He sees the hour we're in, what lies ahead, and where we need to be in order for Him to do what He wants to do. Because He wants a people. But it's got to be a people that are yielding to the Spirit of God and are becoming the Word of God. It's like Brother Chijoki speaking last night about when Brother Campbell shared the vision and Brother Chijoki expounded on last night about how the runner first was carrying the light, but then the vision showed that he became the light. And that we ourselves are as we submit to God and as we are willing to allow God to deal with us, God wants to come and to clothe us in righteousness. Hallelujah. But you know what? Very honestly, unless we change, we won't be changed. Unless we deal with the things that God has His finger on our lives, isn't going to happen. I mean, we could say, oh, praise the Lord, but if you don't deal with what you really know, if you really want to be honest or ask God to be honest with you, He's going to show you what's wrong with you. That's sort of a scary thing, isn't it? If we're really asking... I mean, the song we sang this morning. Do you notice that in conferences, we have praise, but then we have praise?
Yep.
What I'm meaning by that is, there is a level, and we can sing, but then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God orchestrates the praise, and you can feel the energy, but it goes beyond that. It's the Spirit of God coming in, opening up our hearts, that He could speak to us. Hallelujah. So we're singing this morning. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. That's getting truth in our inward parts. It's sort of, you know, it's not just singing, it's a prayer. God, you know, you have to have a tenacity. As much as it is coming to the altar of God and saying, God, I'm not going to leave go until I'm changed. And it's repentance. And what is repentance? Change. 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 How do we repent? Three steps. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Two, turn from it. Turn from it. You know, oh, I repent. I got to repent of, not the Bible, whatever I'm holding on to. But I have to stop it and I have to turn from it. But the most important part, most important, is to turn to God. You remember what the Word says? It says that no man, what does it say? No man shall see God. How? What's the scripture verse that says?
And live.
That means man in his flesh cannot stand before God and live. But look at the converse. We are not just man anymore. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Begins life in our life. Makes us a living soul that brings us to the step that our spirit cries out to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The life of God pouring into us in order for our soul to be changed. We forget the very principles of the very basis of what this kingdom message is. This weekend, someone began to read about the, in Ezekiel, about the soul.
Yeah.
See, God brings a revelation to a people that the soul needs to be changed. Yeah. My God, without that, you can preach all you want. But unless man's soul is changed, that's what the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit was, to come into your spirit in order to get into your soul and to change you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think Peter was talking this weekend about the two runners, and the one ran, but he didn't have the message. You know, it's one thing to hear the message of the kingdom of God, it's another thing to run with it. And that means getting it inside of you so that you have the goods to deliver to somebody else.
Yes, yes.
Peter and John had it when they went to the temple to the lame man. They had the goods. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to thee. And in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I command thee to rise up and walk. All creation is groaning and travailing, waiting to wit the manifestation of the sons of God. Brethren, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. Naturally, it doesn't look what we shall. But this we know, that when He shall appear, where is He going to appear? In us. In His temple. My God. This is the life that the world is travailing. And God is waiting upon us to be changed. Hallelujah. But the devil has tied the church up and all these things. Brethren, go to God. Ask God to fix you first. Because unless you're fixed, you're in no condition to fix the church. You have to be fixed in order to fix the church. Because if you are fixed, the Spirit of God is going to speak to you. He's going to come to you in the nature of God, and He's going to make you a co-worker with Him, evident with the golden lampstand. Huh? The oil and the wick. Hallelujah. We have been dry. I know I've been dry. But I tell you what, I've gotten life this weekend.
Yeah.
I have gotten great encouragement this weekend. And I have gotten deliverance this weekend as I submitted to God and to the depths that I've understood God. And I said, God, I'm not still satisfied. I still feel a barrier or denseness that you have to break through. But my confidence is, as I walk out, as I walk out my relationship with you, you will do it. Because my desire is to be what I have been called to be.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This conference, God has not also imparted the understanding of what needs to be changed in us, delivered in us, but has given us the impetus and the strength to do it. Hallelujah. But it can only come through repentance. And I believe that this is just the start or the whetting appetite for you to go and do business with God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, brethren, God is speaking so much. If we just get into that place with God, open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. To reach out, June, to touch Him. Huh? And to say that I love Him.
Amen.
Do you remember what Jesus says? He says, if you love me, then do my commandments. I mean, I've heard people, oh, we love Jesus, we love Jesus, but the evidence is not there. Because the fact of the matter is, it has to come in the inward parts.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
We have touched Jesus this weekend, but it's just the start. Someone shared, we're going from glory to glory. We have touched glory this weekend.
Yes.
Whoever yield themselves to God, they have been touched by the glory of God. And if you have not felt it, cry out to God. It's not too late for anyone.
Amen.
That you can cry out, that you can go to your altar and say, God, I've been in a conference one time where I was so dense. We walked away and everybody was being delivered and we weren't. And we walked out worse than we came in. But you know, God was merciful. Because God had to touch us in a way that we would go to God, we go, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why couldn't we rejoice as with the other brethren? We had to do business with something in our hearts. And you know what? God touched us when we came to Him. When we asked God to really, you know, deal with those inward parts that needed to be dealt with. No conference is in vain, brethren, when the Spirit of God is in our midst. When God is speaking and He is moving. So praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let us go from this conference this weekend and let us take hold of what has been given to us. Let us walk in Him. Let us believe God and see His salvation, not only in our lives, but in the lives of the church. And whatever to the capacity, as we allow God to really come into our inward parts, and we want change, we will be changed. Amen. Amen.
So praise the Lord. I trust that you all have been meditating on the Word of God, looking into the mirror, right? Praise God. And not turning away and forgetting what manner of man that was being reflected. Amen. It says, a broken and a contrite heart is an offering that God will not despise. Praise the Lord. I might want to emphasize the broken and the contrite. Now, it might seem like those two words are the same thing, but they really aren't. The Bible says that it is godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Sorrow is agonizing of soul. Hallelujah. when we find ourselves in a position or a place of transgression, we should be feeling very, very ashamed of our behavior, even though it may not seem to be appropriate, inappropriate in the natural arena. In the sight of God, it is something that He calls an abomination, in that we should know better in what we are doing, and we do not do it. Praise the Lord. So we need to have the perspective of God concerning the issue of repentance. One of the things I used to tell my children, and I tell my grandchildren now, is it's all right to say you're sorry, but I want to see you're sorry. I don't want you just to tell me you're sorry, and then you turn around and do it again and tell me you're sorry again. It means that you weren't sorry to begin with. You weren't repenting of your position of transgression. So we need to demonstrate that position of being sorry. There has to be a contriteness and a brokenness. And you know, and it's not something that we can manufacture. Sometimes the things that we are involved in, we have been involved with them so long that we have, in one measure or another, hardened our heart to the voice of God, the spirit of conviction. And it takes something to break through that hardness. It's not just fasting and praying. You have to have a purpose for your fasting and praying. And if we can begin to look at it from God's perspective, if we can begin to feel what God feels. How many of you know that God feels? Praise the Lord. If you don't know that He can feel, I suggest you take a needle and you stick it into your arm. You will immediately feel the pain, right? And we are made in His image and after His likeness. He can feel pain. He can feel the sense of sorrow and grief. And I would say that in some respects, He feels a whole lot more of that than some other emotions that He has and that He is capable of expressing, such as joy and whatnot. But it says of Jesus Christ that He was a man of sorrows. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you've ever given much thought to that. It isn't that He was sorrowing because of how they were treating Him on a natural level. If you will remember the story of the Lord, of the devil taking Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple and showing Him all of the kingdoms of the land. And those weren't natural kingdoms, you know. Those weren't the kingdom of Persia, the kingdom of whatever here and whatever there. They were the hearts of men. Not only were they the hearts of men, but they were also the hearts of the disciples that were around about Him. And He was saying all, and He was seeing the darkness in them. Now, in Jesus' perspective, it would be even more catastrophic. It would be even more traumatizing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because He had seen what it was in the beginning. He was there in the beginning. And it says, let us create man. And when God came down in the cool of the evening to walk and to talk with Adam, Jesus Christ was with God walking and talking with Adam and having that fellowship in that position or that place of light. Hallelujah. And He knew what it was. He knew what had happened. He knew where it was. And He also knew to the depths of degradation. Where's Peter? I don't think I said that right. To the depths of
degradation. Degradation.
Thank you. Degradation. Hallelujah. He knew to the depths of which it was yet to go. Do you hear me? He knew what was yet to go. He knew what Peter was going to do. He knew what John was going to do. He knew what all of the disciples were going to do. Hallelujah. And so in all of that, you know, there was this feeling of grief, this feeling of emotion that he has. And I'm saying all of this in order for us to get some comprehension of what it is and what God experiences when we move contrary to righteousness. I know, in some little respect, if someone were to come and to tell me that my children did so and so and so, and let's say it was something really, really bad, and I know what I would feel. I know what I would feel. I would feel pain. Do you hear me? Physical pain in my body. Physical pain in my heart. Hallelujah. Not so much that they have embarrassed me or that they have moved contrary, but because I know that something terrible has happened to them. You understand? There would be a pain in my heart. There would be a pain in my being over that feeling. And I know that some of us probably have experienced that type of thing. Well, if you can take that and just magnify it, 100-fold at least, then you might be able to begin to comprehend in some respect of how we hurt God. Hallelujah. And it's not that His hurt is not that we are hurting Him. His hurt is that we are hurting ourselves, because He suffers for us in that position. So we need to be working and praying that God would give us a broken and a contrite heart, a knowledge, an insight, experientially, a position or administration that comes to us in that respect. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, I come by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to move by your Spirit today. You see the day as it's coming to the meetings as they are coming to a close. Our minds are already working and thinking about going this way or going that way. But Father, I do not believe that you are finished yet. I do not believe that we have yet run the full course. I believe that there is yet a place or a step that you want to take us, that we might come, Lord, and receive the blessing, that we might receive the administration of life in the midst of the things that are going on and the word that has been coming forth. Father, we are praying that you penetrate the darkness of our hearts, that you break through the shell of hardness that we have surrounded ourselves with for whatever reason. Father, we're asking for that unction and that anointing that breaks the yoke. Lord God, we pray that as we move into your presence, that we have the awareness of your presence, that we have the awareness of your heart's yearning toward us, that we have the awareness of the principle of life that is even now waiting in the corridors to be poured out upon us. My God, we commit ourselves unto you this morning in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I want to, Brother Martin had something that I believe he wanted to share. So I'm going to ask him to come and to relieve himself of his burden.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. I take this liberty because in the morning when I was waking up, I was almost up in my mind, and the Lord starting to speak to me. So it wasn't a dream, but the Lord told me, take off your shoes because this place is holy. I don't think he meant it naturally. I did take my shoes naturally, but it's more symbolic for me than really the important thing. But you know, I believe, as the Lord was sharing, we need to understand this place is holy. And holy means dedicated for a purpose. Amen? It is a separated. Holy means dedicated, separated, special place. Amen? And, by the way, that doesn't mean physically this place. It doesn't mean, we should be coming in and taking our shoes off or something like this. But it's speaking spiritually. Because this place is holy and God wants to do something. He wants to do something in us. You know, taking off the shoes, it's the Old Testament thing. In the New Testament, Jesus translated it into washing the feet, didn't he? And he says, there's no reason for us that we need to wash ourselves. The whole thing. Peter says, you know how Peter is, all right? He goes from extreme to extreme, all right? So he says, you are not washing my feet, all right? And says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part. You've got no business, you've got no part. Oh, in that case, wash me the whole thing. Peter, no need for that. You already heard the word. Amen? You already been sitting under my word. You are washed. However, as you walk in the world, as you walk your daily walks, your feet get dirty, don't they? You know, with a bill, with a fear, with a condemnation, with a rejection, with a sin, with all these things. And Lord is saying this morning, take your shoes off, because this place is holy. Don't bring it in. Don't bring it in, drop it. You know what I mean? Like taking shoes off is symbolic. It's a symbolic thing, but God wants us to go spiritual. Amen? Take your shoes off, brethren, because this place is holy. And you know, I do believe, and we had a beautiful breakfast, we were speaking and sharing, I don't know how that happened, but we were sharing about all the testimonies we had, how somebody, including our own experiences, were healed during the praises. I don't think we necessarily need to come in front. Sometimes it's time to come in front. Sometimes you can be healed right there where you are. You know? And healed is not only physical. Healed is you can drop. You know? And I believe if we see in a spirit and we leave this meeting, I believe we can see a lot of, how do you call them, crutches? Okay? And wheelchairs and things left behind here. You know? God is saying drop it. Drop all the things which bother you, all your confusions, all your hurts, all your misunderstandings, all the sin, all the so easily besetting sin. You know what I mean? And let's run free, because where is the Spirit of God? There is freedom. Amen? And nobody can and should take it from you. You know? And it's not that we would ignore holiness. The opposite. You know, when you walk with God, you realize you dropped your sin and you walk holy. Amen? So it's not license. It's not license for sin. The opposite. We'll be walking holy because this place is holy. We will be doing His will because He will change and touch our hearts. So brethren, I do believe this conference is not over. You know, it's almost like it's starting now type of thing. Because God still, if there is still something you need to get delivered of, if it's a sin, or if it's a mental problem, if it's heartache, if it's anything there, God is most ready to heal you. You know, and I felt a little dodgy here, coming here, she was less, you know. But I believe that unless we are able to do things like this, go beyond yourselves, we won't be able to produce life. You know, one reason why David was a king of an example. You know, and he had his troubles. We don't need to go into there, do we? You know, we all know. We know the stories, don't we? Yes. So David was having to overcome his own things, as we are. All right? Yet, David would be there before the Lord and praising Him. You know? And his wife, Michael or Michal or whatever you call it in English, okay? She was looking down from the window. She said, oh, come on. What are you doing? I mean, you are a king. Maintain some dignity. You know what I mean? But he wouldn't. Because when he came in the presence of the Lord, he didn't have any. You know? He was just him and God. He didn't have to pretend. He didn't have to play. I am the king. I have achieved. I have come to position. Amen? Be free before God. You know? Be free and He can touch. And He can heal you. Because Miko, because of her attitude, you know what happened? She was fruitless. Yeah. There is no life. You know, if that's the way you look at it, You know, if that's the way you look at it, you won't be able to produce any life. You'll be trying, you'll be working, you'll be doing the right things, but you won't be able to produce life. Amen? So, let's kind of go before God. You know, let's raise our hands, raise our hearts, take our shoes off, spiritually speaking, you know, and let us flow and let Him touch us. Drop your sins. Leave behind all the things which you are holding against somebody. Leave behind all your troubles. Leave behind all your illnesses and sicknesses. You know, God can come and touch you right there. I could be here for another half hour, and perhaps you would be joining me, and we would go testimony after testimony, how we are miraculously healed, you know, touched, relieved, during the word, during the praises. And I believe God is not over yet. He still wants to do business. And this conference, when it's over, we should look back and say, it's gone. I'm not holding it anymore. I'm free. I'm free in Him. Amen. Father, we pray that you would have a free course. You would be able to flow. We rebuke in the name of Jesus every contrary spirit. Every spirit who would come and claim this impossible. Every spirit who would come and would remind us of things and remind us of history and remind us of the brother and sister, what they done or haven't done and should have done. Oh, hallelujah. My God, we don't want to see this. We want to see you. We want to magnify you, come close to you, my God, and allow your spirit to flow freely. Ha, my Jesus, help us to be free. Help us to be free. Help us to be holy as you are holy. My God, help us to overcome all the besetting sin, all the lies, all the gossips, all the things which were going around. We rebuke it and reject it because this place was not born and created for death and for gossips and for things, but for spreading and living life. Oh, my Jesus. So we pray for freedom. We pray for liberty. We pray, my God, for holiness, that you would come. Hallelujah. And help us to go beyond ourselves. My God. And now I know what I'm talking about, because that's not me. Hallelujah. So I pray in the name of Jesus, come, O Spirit of God, come and deliver your people on this very day of 4th July. We are declaring the independence. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, my God. We bless your name. Amen. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know, brethren, I believe God, the bridegroom always has the best wine at the end. And I believe, but you know what? The devils know it too. And they are just waiting to steal it from us. Let us not give him the chance. Amen.
A broken and contrite heart. God is going to set you free. You come with a broken and a contrite spirit before God, He'll set you free. You can begin to take the upper hand over these things, hallelujah, that have consumed your mind, your life, your thoughts, your habits, your day, your night. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. It's time to break through.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We're never going to get through that veil unless we start breaking these things.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The flesh, amen, cannot rule over our soul. It is going to have to be ruled by the Spirit. We're coming into a spiritual place, brethren. Hallelujah. The wood doesn't belong anymore. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Cry out to God.
Amen.
He can, you know, I'm sitting over here and I'm asking this morning, all this whole conference, we've heard change, 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 change. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, but God, how do people change? How do we change? It is, you know, changing humans, changing our flesh is the most difficult thing that can ever happen to us. We enjoy the place of comfort, even the rotten place of comfort, because it's familiar to us. the unknown. We are so afraid of the unknown. What's going to happen if I step out beyond this thing? What's out there? You know why sometimes we can't get delivered all at once? It's because we wake up the next morning, we wouldn't know who we are. But God is taking us step by step. Another step. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Martin said, was it Christina, that the best wine. Remember, on the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said, "Who is thirsty, come unto me." Amen. Drink of the living water. This is the last day of the feast, brethren. For this feast. Hallelujah. I just encourage you, call upon the Lord. Ask Him to break it. Ask Him to destroy it. Loose it. Amen. He has the power. My goodness. If what we've seen of Merlinda's mother, if God can do that, He surely can do anything. I mean, this is the equivalent of raising the dead. Yes, this is raising the dead. Dead flesh is dead flesh. No matter where it is. Whole body, half body, dead is dead. And God can bring life again to it. Dead marriage, dead relationship, dead soul. Come on, it isn't ready to be buried yet before we've asked God to bring life to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dead, impossible situation. Woman had been to every doctor around and got no results. Had gotten no results. Do proper English here. Amen. It doesn't matter. Her desperation was the same. There's an answer for us here. Today, before we leave, if you came with an impossible situation, if you came with a dead situation, there is an answer here today. Hallelujah. Don't let the day go by. Don't cycle around and say, "Oh, well, in the next conference, the next year." Come on. You heard what Brother Campbell said. I don't know that I'll have another one. The situation in the world is such that all it's going to take is a little spark. Set that thing off into a wild frenzy of wickedness, rebellion, terrorism. God is the one that's held it back. All He has to do is say, "I'm going to let it be released. I'm going to let the next spark hit it." Come on, I'm not trying to frighten you. This is reality. We're looking at reality. The very first thing that Bert said in the beginning of the conference, why is God... I'll use different words. Why is God scolding us? Because He loves us. Would you rather have these things come upon you and turn and say, "Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me? You knew and you never told me it was coming." You know what? It's coming as surely today as the days that Seth told us it was coming. It's still coming. It's still reality. Hallelujah. Come on, the reality of get the house in order is still here. The Word is still alive. Get the house in order. The man was ready to die. Get the house in order. And it prolonged his life. Hallelujah. I'm asking God... You know, we've heard a lot about coming into the secret place of the Most High. You know what? I don't think we've ever been there. We've seen it. We've had glimpses of it. We've had visions of it. But we've never lived there. I don't know a man that has lived there in his mortal flesh. But God is going to do something different about mortal flesh. Did we not hear the word immortality is coming, brethren? I don't just mean flesh, blood, muscles. That's not what I'm talking about. We heard that from Brother Chokes. Immortality. Life of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, amen. That's what I have to say.